You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, amid environmental policy rollbacks, President Trump and his appointees are seeking to limit some of the data published in upcoming climate science reports. We'll get the details. First, it's been more than a year since the U.S. began a trade dispute with China, and during that time, tariffs have been a key tool of choice for the countries as they try to gain the upper hand in negotiating new agreements. Just this month, the U.S. raised tariffs from 10 to 25% on about $200 billion of products from China. In response, China announced that it will raise tariffs on $60 billion of U.S. goods starting in June. The trade tiff has raised a lot of questions about how tariffs work, who pays, who gets the money, and how it all gets enforced. Jim Tankersley covers economic and tax policy for the New York Times. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, when a tariff is imposed, who is the first party to get charged that money? Who is a tariff actually collected from?
Well, so first off, the president would like you to believe that basically we sent a bill to the Chinese government, but that is not at all true. And there's actually sort of a process that happens, which is that a tariff, you ship a good to the United States. It comes in, there's a sort of bill attached to it, and a tariff is charged. There's like usually an importer of record who brings it in and has to pay that tariff. Now, they then usually are working for someone, usually the importer, who then the company that's importing the good, who then turns around and reimburses them for the tariff or whatever, or often has actually given them money in advance to be used for the tariff. So it's sort of like a middleman, a third party, who actually bears the brunt of the tariffs to start, but not at the end.
Right. Who ends up carrying some of the costs at the next stage of the game?
Well, so then it gets tricky. Sometimes tariffs are passed all the way on through to a consumer, and you could see very easily how that happens. If I'm bringing in pencils from China and there's a tariff on them, and then I turn around and sell them to kids, and I have to pay an extra 10 cents per pencil, and I can just say, okay, you kids, you all have to pay me a dime because I don't have very high margins on pencils, and I can't afford to eat any of that cost myself. But I might decide that, okay, I actually make a lot of money selling pencils or some more advanced good, and so the person selling this product will pass on, say, 5 cents of the 10% tariff. There's also a chance that, and this is what the president keeps sort of obliquely claiming is happening, that I can turn around to my supplier in China and say, hey, you need to cut the price on this for me because I have to pay tariffs now and I can't afford to pass on the cost or to eat it myself. And you could try to negotiate a different arrangement. So it's some combination of those three things, the actual original supplier of the good, the company that brings it in and sells it, and you know, whether that's a store or a company or whatever, and then the actual consumer. And what the research tells us has happened so far is that a lot of it's been passed on to the consumer.
Another hope that the president and others have stated, and it's often a justification for tariffs historically, is that great news, this pressure has meant that, hey, domestic producers are going to get more business. My American-based pencil company, for example, is going to sell more pencils now. Do we have any indication of whether that tends to happen in fact?
So sometimes, but what you have to have there is basically an American competitor that is cost competitive. And so if I could, and I like that we're just going to stick with pencils,
sure,
which I completely made up for no good and sorry, not at all very Wisconsin reason.
We use pencils here.
Yeah. Oh, gee, okay, good. Because I'm from Oregon, we also use pencils there. It's nice to know we have some commonality across the country there. So if there was an American company that could make pencils for a basically inside less than the difference of the tariff. So I couldn't make them for a dollar, but I could make them for $1.05. Well, then yeah, that would theoretically lead to a lot of increase in American production. In practice, we haven't seen a lot of that yet. For example, I spent some time at a lighting store in Delaware earlier this year, and you know, most of the lighting that you can buy comes from China, and there's only a couple of American suppliers left anymore who make lighting, and it's very high end. So there's not that immediate substitute, and so there's no option to go to it. Now, what we are starting to see is maybe some larger companies moving supply chains not necessarily back to the United States, but around Asia. So instead of putting it in China, you might put it in Vietnam. And that would be one possible consequence here, which hurts China by moving industry out of China, but doesn't necessarily change the balance of trade between the U.S. and the rest of the world.
Talking to Jim Tankersley, he covers economic and tax policy for the New York Times. He's giving us an explainer on tariffs, how they work, and where the money goes. Well, let's talk about where the money goes. Is the U.S. government taking in a significant amount of cash here from these tariffs?
So, yeah, I mean, we actually are. And that is one thing that the president is correct about. Now, that means that's a tax. That's a tax increase. And a decent chunk of that money, which is billions of dollars a month now, that's come in, a decent chunk of that money is then being turned around and given out to farmers as part of the recompensation program that the administration has done to try to help them because they've been hurt by retaliatory measures in the trade war. But yeah, we're raising revenue from this. It's certainly nowhere close to, for example, the revenue that we've lost from the tax cuts that the president signed. But it is new revenue coming in because we've raised taxes on these products.
Now, another angle on tariffs is the idea that they're punitive. We're punching China with these tariffs. It's presumably hurting them in some way. We're getting hit back. And as you mentioned, farmers and others in the United States are bearing the brunt of that. Do we have a sense of how effective tariffs are as a stick to get another country to cooperate with us when it comes to trade?
So on that, I think the jury's out so far. Some threats of tariffs have resulted in at least modest concessions. You know, the Chinese were willing, before the president and the Chinese government kind of both walked away from the deal, they were willing to make some concessions on trade because they didn't want to have these tariffs anymore, in part because they are worried about these supply chain shifts away from China. I think that what we have not really seen, and to be fair, the Chinese economy has struggled over the last year, in part because of these tariffs. And the administration believes that gives it more leverage in the trade war. It's also true that our economy is beginning to struggle a little bit under the tariffs, that there are projections that it's going to reduce economic growth, and that it already has a little bit, although not by that much. And a trade war, what economists usually will tell you, is sort of like an exercise in everybody inflicting pain on each other and everybody hurting at the same time until they sort of decide to call a truce. And I think the administration's view is that it can inflict more pain on China than China can inflict on the United States. Whether that is the case will depend a lot on who ends up bearing the burden for these tariffs. If American consumers are really paying the cost of more expensive goods, you can make an argument that that's actually hurting yourself more than the Chinese. But if supply chain shift and the effects on activity in China are worse than the effects that they can inflict, like on our farmers, then yeah, that might be true, that there is some real leverage here that the administration gets.
The questions come up about long-term impacts. You mentioned, okay, maybe a manufacturer moves a factory from China to Vietnam. Presumably, even after the tariffs are done, they might keep them in Vietnam. That hurts China. There's also concern about China saying, okay, well, we're going to start looking to places like Brazil for soybeans, for example, and maybe they keep that supply chain when this is all over. How do we start to figure out what long-term consequences could be?
I think you've just really distilled very nicely some possibilities. I mean, the first order thing everyone talks about is we're a global economy. It's companies can look all over the place to source what they need. Countries can look to buy various products, and that those lines might be permanently changed by these trade disputes. And the other thing that can happen is that certain products can be substituted out. And so this is a different set of tariffs, but something I just published a piece today on the effects of the president's steel and aluminum tariffs. And one thing that people in the aluminum industry talked to me about is they are worried that if the tariffs stay and aluminum is just more expensive in the United States, which it is right now, than it would be otherwise, that will cause companies, manufacturers, consumers to look for things that are not aluminum to replace aluminum. And so you can have effects on entire industries that have nothing to do with where it's sourced, but just how much consumers want their products. Like maybe car companies don't use as much aluminum in pickup trucks anymore, which has been a real shift that has been happening to meet fuel efficiency standards. So I think that is a big fear in a lot of parts of the economy is, wait, if you're going to make our products more expensive, it doesn't even matter who's going to buy them, just fewer people will.
We'll leave it there for now. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jim Tankersley. He covers economic and tax policy at the New York Times. He was with us to talk about how tariffs work amid an ongoing trade dispute between the U.S. and China.